WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is Ed Spock with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live chat. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use carrier code ROCKZOCK in the Fortnite item shop when you buy your Nick A30s or your Metallica. Just hashtag epic partners. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
That's right, you can now ride the lightning in Fortnite.
Yeah, to your death.
Legitimately, ride the lightning.
To your death.
I have not seen the guitar lightning meta yet.
I've died to my death twice.
Using it or having it used on you?
Using it. I hit a tree, it broke the tree, and then I died because I broke a tree.
Oh, fall damage?
Which nice. You're not supposed to take with the.
Well,
it's Fortnite. That this game's weird. Anyway, we also have one Keishi Matsunaga.
I wonder if they'll fix that.
He's funny.
They have patches. It's fine.
Event. They're going on break soon.
Band patches.
They got plenty of time to do it before they go on sabbatical in 2 weeks.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. And then we have the one and only insert talent name here. Otherwise known as Tim Stein.
That's a little bit better.
Oh, WWE can do it. We can do it.
Yeah, well, future endeavors is future endeavors. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live on twitch.tv/WTR Live. Don't care where you're listening. If you're not in the chat room, you can't chat with us. So get into the chat room.
Indeed. Yeah, I know, Tim Slow. I'm working on it. Anyway. We're here.
That's very weird.
I fixed you. Last week you were very loud.
Okay.
So we brought you down. I turned you down. Now I got to turn you back up because you're not as loud as you were last week.
So that was your fault, not mine.
I didn't say. I said I'm working on it. Just...
Well,
anyway.
You said we. You used the word we. We're working on it.
See, now you're back to being...
Now you just got closer to the mic, so it works better.
Now you're louder again.
No, I just turned up. I just turned the mic up in the microphone property.
Well, and now he,
it
now,
was at
now,
84. Now it's at 93.
Now you're back down to 95. Anyway, we're here to talk about Clash at the Castle that took place last night, yesterday afternoon, wherever you were, in Scotland.
I mean, technically it was yesterday morning for me.
Wherever it was, whenever you watched it, it happened.
Just totally screwed up my whole day.
Didn't for me. I enjoyed getting wrestling out of the way early. It was nice.
Indeed. I watched it in pieces.
2 hour pre-show, though, that was a thing.
You don't have to always watch the pre-show.
I didn't.
It was my favorite part, though, was like Big E in a full suit, aside from the tie, and Kevin Owens got the tie.
Big E's tie.
Exactly. They shared a suit, and you know Kevin in all of his glory goes fully formal, wearing his normal semi cut up shirt and a tie.
Yep. Because
the ultimate business casual.
He probably wasn't told, hey, you're doing a pre-show.
No, I mean, with Kevin, it's just, that's the standard. It's just,
that also is the standard.
I need to do a talking segment? Here, let me just grab a tie from someone random.
Although,
we learned later, sometimes when you ask a random person for an item, they live to regret it.
That is true.
But or Jessica Carr.
So the show opened with Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles' I Quit match.
Nope, Rock, introduce him properly.
I already did the talent name here thing.
I know, but this was the moment.
I know it was the moment, but you can't repeat the joke if you do the joke already. It's just, killing the joke.
But this is WTR. We kill jokes all the time.
No. I kill jokes all the time.
He kills jokes
but
all
still
the time.
But still WTR.
Thoughts on this match?
MVP of the match, Cody's mom.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. I don't know if you guys caught it on X, the former Twitter. Brandi Rhodes threw out a post. Was thinking about letting the little one watch it, and then she turned it on, and she saw Cody's mom swearing and the crowd chants.
And Cody bleeding.
Cody bleeding, and maybe I'll watch later.
Time for some Bluey. Anyway.
I sent Rock a
really
tweet
funny.
That followed up from that.
Uh-huh.
It would just be like, Grandma said shit on TV. Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he said more.
I mean, to be fair, I'm sure that, that family has said much more colorful things already. I mean, Dustin is part of it, so.
Dustin's never been shy to say exactly what's on his mind the way it appears in his mind.
Dustin hasn't been shy to do a lot of things, as we've learned.
This is true.
The lengths he was willing to go to as Gold Dust, let's just put it that way.
Now, one thing about this match, I have always hated I Quit matches. I can't stand them. I'd rather have a last man standing. But I Quit you get one guy who's had the shit kicked out of him, and the other guy gets three bumps, and he's like, I quit. This one, as far as I Quit matches go, I like the way it ended.
For me, I just always hate the I Quit match because I understand the purpose of, the referee has to ask the people consistently. And it wasn't as bad in this match, but typically it's almost always like, they'll do a couple of moves. Ask him, Cody, do you quit? No. And then they'll go back to beating each other for about 3 more minutes, and then they'll ask again. It's one of those kinds of things, after a little while, it's just that kind of just wait for the impactful move and be like, do you have anything to say?
Just once, I want a wrestler to say, give me that.
Ding, ding, ding. Shit.
That would be really funny. It's like, do you quit after that? Really? Yeah. So now I'm going to put that in my little wrestling back pocket.
Have someone stomp on your foot. Do you quit? What?
Gotta book a match for Casey. Just throw him into an I Quit match just for that.
All right, so we need to book Casey in a ladder match and an I Quit match so far. Got it. We're just working up a whole repertoire for Casey here on this show.
I mean, if I can find something to do that's funny enough in something, yeah, I'd do a gimmick match.
We did learn
I've seen it.
We learned that the Scottish crowd will not hesitate calling someone a kinky bastard.
That's true.
And the funniest thing of all is, it's AJ Styles that they called that on. I could think of far, you know, more likely people. AJ, the upstanding guy?
Far more deserving than the Christian.
Exactly.
Although most Christians I've met, never mind.
It was nice to see Cody gig early.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it is a Cody match, so we did expect some blood, at least somewhat involved.
Now, when I saw the Crimson Mask, as what's his name called it, I'm looking at it really closely, trying to figure out if that was a blood pellet or if he actually bladed.
By the color, it looked like a pellet of some sort.
It looked fake.
Which is fine. You take what you can get at this stage. You don't need them doing the Moxley bleeding. You don't need that on WWE TV.
If it was Moxley, he would have bled coming out to the ring. Although, technically, I think that's actually AJ that had that happen, right? Hit his head on the entrance and then came out, busted open.
Yeah, that happened at WrestleMania in Texas.
Look, sometimes the entrance way is just not the way you think it is.
Yeah, you think the star is a good idea. Just
and
a
then
little
you
too pointy.
Yeah. So, the match itself, it didn't suck. It had a couple of great spots. I really enjoyed Cody throwing the chair at AJ when AJ's lining up for the phenomenal form.
Oh, that was so nice.
Which that was actually, and then put himself through the table.
Yeah.
Which got
that was
memed.
Actually a really good spot.
People memed it right
he
away.
Was having he was having troubles wrapping that chain around his arm.
Everyone seems to. It's a terrible spot. No one can get a chain to tie properly. Everyone thinks, oh, I can do it. No.
No, you can't.
No, it's just it's
well, especially
just
for chain. Like, if he could hold it in his hand, that's one thing. But when you have to grab the top rope to do the springboard, you can't really have the chain in your hand for that. So.
Yeah.
I appreciate that he tried to tuck it into his little elbow pad, though.
He tried.
Yeah, that was actually the smart part of, like, okay, I can put it here for now. So we'll see.
He tried.
Yeah, he put some,
that
he
lasted
put some thought into
a few
it.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Look, the best laid plans, okay? The best laid plans. I know some people were disappointed in the finish, but, I mean, if you break it down a little bit logically, it kind of does make some sense.
Well, I don't understand the disappointment in that finish, because being an I Quit match, it was pretty much just about one of the only finishes you could do that did make sense. After Cody gets locked into that into the cuffs, and like, okay, I see where this is going, because the chain between the bracelets is so goddamn long, and I'm thinking, okay, is he going to use that to choke him out at some point? That was on my mind.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to redo like the Miz Cena corner spot at one point, because if it's that tall, you can actually like throw it over that top, over the pole. So it sits on the top turnbuckle, and then you could, you know.
Oh, yeah.
String someone up and do some stuff.
But locking AJ into the cuffs around the ropes and then going to town on him with the chair, throwing the steps into the ring, and you're like, you see your life flash before your eyes. No, that's okay, I give up.
Well, and that's where it makes sense to me, is the fact of, like, AJ is handcuffed to the rope. So he can, I mean, in theory, he can go down the one rope from corner to corner, but you're kind of trapped in the one corner there. Cody has the large steel steps, which have been proven to be a pretty good weapon, you know, in the history of wrestling. A nice, you know, big steel step that's going to come at you, and you can't really protect yourself. So at that point, I could see someone go, yeah, this isn't going to end well. I'm just going to stop now. In that respect, I can kind of see the finish. I'm like, okay, I get that. I mean, I understand that some people want, like, an impactful finish for an I Quit. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to be, like, Cody's threatening to murder AJ. And that's when AJ goes, okay, no, I quit.
Yeah. So in the end, Cody Rhodes is still the undisputed WWE champion.
And he still hit AJ with the stairs anyway.
He did, because he looked at his mom and went, okay.
Like, mom just kind of like smiled at him, and it was like, all right, that's the sign.
Things weren't done as Cody walked to the back. Solo Sikoa walked out. Cody noticed, and the fight was on. 3-on-1 on Cody until KO and Randy Orton, who was just in his gear for whatever reason, came out and made the save. So the Bloodline wants the belt back.
Someone else wanted the belt.
I mean, you saw that too?
I think everyone saw that one.
That screenshot made its way around the internet real fast.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, but not like it wasn't telegraphed.
I just loved the moment though when Solo just walks out, not menacing or anything, just like walks out, stands next to Cody, and's just like, "Sup?" And then you had the Gorillas of Destiny come out of nowhere and start to beat him down. But it was just Solo like casually walking up to him, just like, "I'm not gonna hit you yet. I'm gonna let them do it first."
Storytelling, yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, the women's tag team titles were on the line. The Unholy Union and Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark challenged Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill.
And my biggest fears seem to be coming true with Jade. I brought it up a couple of times, a couple of matches. People are defending her, but she's sloppy, gang. This match just reaffirmed it.
I wouldn't say sloppy.
What would you say? Green?
She's gaining experience. I thought compared to the last time they had some issues, she rebounded better than she did previously from issues.
When she came out the ropes.
No, that's what I'm talking about. She rebounded quickly. She hit this. She continued to go, okay, I missed the springboard, but she hit the spinebuster. She kept going. It didn't throw her off. She was still involved and kept it going.
Yeah, she was also late in a couple of spots, and she missed a fairly important one as well. It sounds like I'm trashing her, and to a degree I am, but I'm not doing it maliciously. I'm not saying that she's not going to ever be any good. She's reached her peak. This is all we can expect from her. I just think that she's got it in her head. She's in her head too much. She's got it in her head. She's got to be the super powerhouse, and it's messing with her.
Some of the spots, I'm not sure if it's as much in her head. I think what happens is she just gets ahead of herself. She gets too excited and starts moving too fast.
This is what I was saying. No, that's what I was saying, Brent. She's in her head.
But I don't even mean in her head. What I mean is, we've seen this in AEW. She's not thinking about the spots upcoming. It's she moves so quickly that she's not able to hit the one move. She's not trying to think of like the next two or three moves ahead. I think she just moves. She doesn't know the speed in which she needs to go. And this dates back to when she was with AEW. She would run through spots and it moved her past what she, like, if she was trying to hit the big boot, she'd go so quick, it's like when she tried to throw her leg up, she's already kind of into the person, so she just needs to slow down, is the thing. Let the match come to her.
At one point, we saw Jade actually tapping on Shayna Baszler's arm, and it was noticeable enough that the commentary team brought it up.
Part of me wonders if Shayna was just a little too snug.
That's where I was, exactly where I was going, Keish. She was letting Shayna know that chokehold was a little tight, which made me wonder, did she do something that pissed Shayna off? Shayna was sending a message?
I think it was just more along the lines of heat of the moment, and Jade is probably not used to working with someone like Shayna.
I part of me thinks it was not like her trying to tap out. I think she was like trying to move her hands and do something. But because she's not used to the tap out motion, she probably didn't realize, she's not taught that part of it. Like, I think she's trying to move her hand and do something. I didn't think it was a tap out. I think the announcers calling it out kind of went, oh shit, that's happening. I didn't think it at first. I think that was a mistake. I don't think the announcer should have called that out. Even though
you're
exactly
right, they shouldn't call it out, but that was a signal to Shayna, is what that was, plain and simple.
And it would have been one of those things. Okay, I'm going to give Kevin Dunn credit here. He would have cut away from it, so they didn't call that, because now they're going to stay on shots longer. They picked up on that. I think if we had Kevin Dunn, we would have been in a different angle or something. You wouldn't have seen her, the hand motion.
Stand by camera three, take camera three. Boom, just like that.
You would have gone away from it a little bit.
To be fair, the production value, though, late in this show was just superb for one spot.
They have a lot of great production value right now. But you could tell there's like a couple spots where you could move away from something, and that's one of those could have hit it. But the announcers are told to call what they see, and they're seeing the tap out. But I don't think you should have drawn attention to it, because I don't think everyone would have noticed if they didn't call it out, because the live crowd couldn't tell.
No, if the announcers hadn't called it out, you would have gotten a few hardcores saying, "Well, why didn't they call that out? She tapped." But the majority of people watching would not have picked up on it.
Yeah, because to me it was like good, like the babyface trying to struggle, push their arm out away type deal, like that. That's where I think it was going ahead, but it is what it is. Anyway. New tag champs.
Scotland. That was a shocker.
Scotland got to see a hometown person win a title. Good on them.
And of course, with them winning, telegraphed the other two matches.
Well, I think you at least had to have one title change tonight or that night. It was either your two biggest ones that could have changed were going to be either this one or the next match. And doing this one in Scotland, it's fine, and honestly, I don't think it hurts Jade and Bianca at all, because if you want to, they can simply say, like, you didn't beat us one-on-one, we want a rematch, and then they can win it back like at Money in the Bank. Or you can move one or both of the girls onto Money in the Bank, if that was your plan, getting the belts off of them. So,
and this, like, of all the title changes to give to hometown talent, not to like downgrade the women's tag titles or anything, but this one is the easiest to navigate, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not a long-term story direction with them right now. The long-term story was them as dominant champs, but you can always put belts back. We're leading towards Bayley and Nia.
Mm-hmm.
So like we have that direction, so you're not going to change course there. And of course, Gunther and Damian. Yeah. You have
Gunther looming in the main event scene.
Yeah, you have.
I don't think you want Drew sitting there having to drop the belt, because we all know what he's angling for at SummerSlam.
Yeah. So, but Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, your new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, they were overjoyed.
Them at the press conference was great.
Yep. All right, Intercontinental titles on the line. Sami Zayn and Chad Gable.
Yeah, the match for the title is not the story.
Nope.
The real story is very entertaining and very good.
Yep. The Chad Otis.
Will he or won't he?
And they told it well, because you still haven't had that big moment yet.
Leading right up to it, big time. And mm-hmm. in a very, very good way. And if I remember last week, I was saying something about Otis was gonna snap and finally turn on him during this match. That came close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it came close. A lot of people thought it was going to happen here, and it didn't.
No, but they've also introduced a little wrinkle, if they want to take it this way, by what happened to Maxine this time around. So Monday, it was Chad who threw Sammy into Otis into Maxine, correct?
Yeah.
2 weeks
ago. Or maybe
ago.
2 Mondays ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So what happened yesterday was Sammy was locked in the ankle lock, and he kind of kicked out of it / like threw his leg up so that Chad went stumbling, and Chad went our shoulder first into Maxine's leg. And we've been talking about, like, oh, if Otis watches tape back, he can see that Chad pushed Sammy in, and Sammy was even talking about that. Now, if you go back and watch the tape, the argument can be made by Chad that it's like, I didn't go into Maxine, Sammy threw me into her. Don't blame me.
Yeah.
Which can add to more of that conflicted Otis, if that's where you want to go with it. Or you can just have Otis, you know, you could have Chad just go off on Otis. You cost me the title. You were supposed to do your damn job. Slap. And Otis finally snaps and tries to break Chad Gable.
The finish also takes Sammy out of the story now.
Yeah.
Yes, Sammy has pointed and basically said, you do not get another shot at this.
Yeah, he hand motioned, that's it.
Which is the right move, because I think whatever Sammy does next with the Intercontinental title allows Otis and Gable to have a match without a title involved.
Pretty sure that's where the general plan was the entire time, so.
Yeah, but it ties up the loose ends, which is what was needed. Overall, really good match.
Mm-hmm.
Very entertaining. Like I say, it was secondary to the main story, but the entire thing was very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And also, congrats to Chad Gable on getting his money, so we know he's going to be sticking around for a little while.
Oh, did he?
It was announced, I believe, either Friday night or Saturday that he had re-signed.
I think it was overnight that the announcement came through.
Yeah, the night before the event, it happened. Because Hunter talked about it in the post-press conference that he's here to stay, which is what he wants and what they all want. So he's on his best run with them right now. So,
well, they got to keep him because they're losing Ricochet. So
I'm going to say this. I don't think them losing Ricochet is a huge deal.
As long as Sam doesn't go with them.
I don't think she's going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
I think
they flew her out to Scotland. I mean, she is the voice right now of WWE.
She's the number one ring announcer. That's so she'll do premium live events and everything. And yeah,
Ricochet, you don't want to stay? Hey, Sam, here's twice the money we've been paying you.
Because I think she got a contract last year, I think. Maybe.
Hey, so contracts are always up for renegotiation at both parties.
No, I'm just saying she's
amenable.
I'm just saying she's around for a while, I think.
I think I don't think there's really much. Well, and also, I don't really think, like, I don't think she's going to be a hot commodity on a free agent market in terms of ring announcing. Don't get me wrong. She's the voice of WWE right now, and she's going to get her money and get her due while there. But I just don't think there's going to, I don't think there would be like a bidding war for a Samantha Irvin.
Anyway, women's titles on the line. Bayley, Piper Niven.
MVP of this match is Chelsea. MVP of this match was Chelsea Green.
Coming out in that lucha mask.
Or Rey Mysterio halfway through the match. I messaged this to Rock. If you would have told me 2 years ago that Chelsea Green would be as entertaining as she is, like, right now, I would have thought you were completely lying. Because I would have been like, that crazy person from TNA and the one who, like, kind of was there in NXT? Really? But holy shit.
She's not quite the Ryan Reynolds of the women's locker room.
No, but she's entertaining as all hell right now. She has found a gimmick and has just run with it, and good on her for it.
It's working.
But yeah, Piper was... the interesting thing about the crowd in this match was they wanted to cheer for both people, and yet sometimes they didn't want to cheer anyone. They'd hit peaks, and then there would be moments where it was just like they disappeared for a moment.
That's just them catching their breath.
But Piper looked like a credible challenger in this match.
Well, every time she's allowed to do what she did yesterday, she just proves how good she, she showcases herself. It shows how good she really is. And if there is an underrated wrestler in the locker room, it's Piper. She's damn good. And I don't think she's given the credit, the complete amount of credit she deserves.
Well, I remember, I want to say it was one of the Mae Young Classic matches where it was her and Tony Storm together.
Mm-hmm.
And you watched Tony wrestle and you were kind of like, okay, I expect that. But there was the one spot where her and Piper had the kind of test of strength, like finger lock, and they both were doing the bridge up on the mat with one another. And it was just kind of like, Piper shouldn't be moving like this. This is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just kind of, we've seen that throughout when she, like when Tim said, when she's given the chance, we've seen that Piper is really amazing and not what you expect.
She's a big wrestler that wrestles like a high flyer sometimes.
Very much like a Keith Lee.
Yeah.
Having a hard time coming up with an argument against that one.
But it was a good match. And the one thing, the finish was cool because it's one of those where the veteran wrestler outsmarts the bigger wrestler. In this case, it was she used Piper's size and momentum against her in doing the crucifix bomb.
Yeah.
And from a psychology standpoint, that's one of those things where it's like you don't often see something like that, but when you start to kind of break it down, you're like, wow, that's actually kind of, that's kind of interesting, because you'd expect them to try and do something, or you'd, you know, they hit like some big power move. And from this, it was just, no, there's a really big person. I'm going to use momentum to take them down. And because they are that size, not in a bad way, but because they do have that size and that momentum, it's going to put them in a, you know, in a bad position for them. And ultimately it cost Piper.
It was a believable loss that didn't hurt her.
And also good on Bailey for hooking the leg and making sure that Piper was on her shoulders.
Shoulder wasn't down on one. It was down for two and three.
But the referee couldn't see it down, not down for one.
Yeah.
Where they were.
They made sure it was planted on the mat so we didn't have any controversy coming out of it. Which is good. The first thing I know is like, oh, her shoulder's up. Oh, they're counting. Oh, now the shoulder's completely down. We're safe. Bailey retains. Keish. Good match.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, I thought they did a good job. They, you know, Bailey was really good at giving Piper her due in her home country. You know, she also, even though she won, it was the win and escape from the ring, leaving her in the ring to kind of get the adulation from the fans that, you know, she deserved and earned. And they did a really good job making each other look strong, making each other look good. The match didn't take away from either one. I think it was all around good match.
Then there was your main event.
Oh, boy.
For the World Heavyweight title, Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre.
Okay, just to jump to the end without revealing anything, the winner won not through my prediction, but Brent's. Way to be, Brent.
Yep.
I mean, this was the way it was going to go. We talked about this last week, and I know Rock brought this up on Thursday. This was what was being forecasted the entire time.
Yes. It was very plain and obvious. It was that this was what's going to happen.
And as you also talked about on Thursday, it was interesting that you saw the kind of softening of Drew for the last 2 weeks going into this match.
Yep.
He was much more likable.
Yep.
And it was interesting because it was that kind of thing like, you know, was it going to lead to, you know, if someone were to interject themselves, how was that going to play out with the fans? Would they boo incessantly, or would this person still be kind of a fan favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, I think it was six of one, half dozen of another.
Because there's Punk fans and there's Drew fans, so, you know.
Right. But the way they got about it, I really enjoyed.
So Punk coming down as a referee after the spot.
Well, and the way they shot it, this is one of those things where we talk about, like, the innovative way that WWE is doing stuff now. You never saw the second ref. You saw Drew get the pin. You saw everyone kind of doing the count and waiting for a referee to come in. Then the shot was a large crowd shot with the light trailing down the entranceway. You couldn't see the entranceway, but you just saw the light trailing, knowing someone's coming to the ring. And when they shot it, it's from where the person slides in. You could tell a little bit from the slicked hair.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to back you up. You could see a referee running, coming down the aisleway. You saw the ref run. But you didn't know who, because you were so far back. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I just, like, comes in, one, two, and then he shows the two sign to Drew, which, as they talked about in an earlier match on the show, showing someone two fingers like that has a second meaning when you're in Europe.
Yeah.
That, and it goes back to the meme of two that was posted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but WWE, when it was WWF, used to do this on occasion back in the early 90s. And it was very well received. It worked great back then. They abandoned it for a little while. Now you see it yesterday.
Yeah, but going back, before we go back to the finish, Damian Priest and the top.
I was about to say. I hope the man talking about what I think ice. We're talking.
Yeah.
Hope the man has some what? You're garbled.
Hope the ice. Man has some ice today.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Took some time off. Got off of his leg because that was scary.
So he hit the middle rope and fell over.
Well, and that's part of the problem of, like, he does that kind of, like, launch off the second rope plancha, but there is that chance that, well, you may not get all of it. And yesterday he did not get all of it.
No.
Well, the fact of the matter is, the way it happened, you couldn't tell if it was a planned spot or it was just a screw-up that they went with.
When Drew got right up, you knew it was
I don't think it was a planned spot, because Drew got up, he looked at Damien for a second and went, and then just started to kick him.
Yeah.
I was like, we need to do something here.
I thought Drew did a good job covering for it, though.
Drew did a good job covering for it, and, like, then when he gets back in, kind of helping him back up, in a sense.
Yeah, that's the part, and he's just like, well, I can't beat him when he's stuck like that.
Yeah.
But apparently he's fine, for now.
And all did was to help solidify Damien, except for the ankle lock, the inadvertent ankle lock. It solidified him as the champion, and as somebody who belongs in the main event.
Yeah, he's earning his spot.
I have to say, if anyone saw the press conference, I liked the way he handled himself there. So he gets into the press conference. So they had CM Punk come in initially and bring donuts and talk about the fact that he was cleared for...
Damien was first.
Oh, Damien was first? I thought it was...
No, Punk was midway through.
Okay. Damien, when he first gets in there, he does his all rise, but he wasn't going to answer a question until everyone in the room stood up, because he's like, either everyone stand up or I'm getting the hell out of here. Clever. And it's that moment of, like, commanding presence as the champion.
So, Damien's still your champion. CM Punk screwed Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre's pissed off. Wade Barrett, on the post show, calls it bigger than the Montreal screw job. Once this man fired, once CM Punk fired for what he did, was livid that Punk was giving these praising the company answers. He should be fired. Is it bigger than the screw job of Montreal?
No.
No.
But it could be.
No.
It could be.
No.
It could be.
No. Just no.
Triple H would have had to do it.
No.
Triple H would have had to do it, yeah. Yeah.
Overall, well, also, it also set up the fact of, you know, we're not expecting Punk tomorrow night, because he already said flat out, like, oh yeah, I'm not going to Corpus Christi. I'll be there Friday to talk about my injury. So it gives you Monday to have Angry Drew go crazy.
Yeah, because he's going to go back to Chicago to get cleared, and hopefully has good news on Friday, where he's not supposed to be, but it's Chicago, so he's going to be there, apparently.
Well, and it also gives you that, as I talked about before, where Drew has been kind of walking that line of, like, face heel, especially in this lead up. It was like, okay, we're going to switch him a little bit going into Scotland. There may be a lot of people that did want to see Drew win the title there. And if you go to Corpus, you may get that mixed response if Punk comes out, because he screwed him. If you go to Chicago, you're probably going to get more of that face response that you want for Punk. So all in all, it helps with the overall situation as well.
Face response or not, you're going to get that response from Chicago anytime Punk shows up.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Anyway, good show. Good overall show.
It was very enjoyable. And a couple of the comes through me for a bit of a loop, but not in a nasty bad way.
Speaking of housekeeping.
Housekeeping, okay. Well, I can guarantee you that nobody got a perfect score, because nobody predicted the women's tag match right.
No, no.
Yeah.
Oh. Sub got it right.
You didn't send me subs.
I did too.
No, you didn't.
I did too.
The last thing I saw from you was, oh, God damn it. Well, the last thing, before it said I had asked sub, haven't gotten a reply. Hang on, give me a minute, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, that being said, while he gets it tabulated and recalculated, I know that we're going to find out the results of the latest season of Fantasy.
Yes.
But I'm just curious, as a son of a gun, how come we haven't seen weekly updates for, like, the last 6 weeks?
There have been weekly updates. Here's the thing, Tim. Your Twitter can't be tagged in anything.
How come?
You tell me.
I don't know, but then when I go to your the Wild Talk Radio page, how come I don't see it posted?
They're posted every week. Lindsay retweets them every. Lindsay retweets them every single week.
Didn't you tag me on your post that Wild Talk Radio was now live tonight on X?
If you try to tag a picture, because I tag everyone in the picture. You can't be tagged that way.
Why not? Fix it.
That you got banned on Twitter. What do you want from me? I can't help you
I'm not
one.
Banned.
You were shadow.
Yeah, technically,
you said
it's not Twitter. It's X.
And you said you were shadow banned or something. You can't be tagged.
I got in trouble a couple of times for.
They don't. Your name doesn't show up at all. I can't tag you in pictures.
Well, try it anyway next time.
I try it every single week, Tim.
Well, then just like post it as a regular post so I can see the damn thing.
That's effort. Anyway.
Oh, shut up, effort. Just do it. Takes you 30 seconds.
Anyway, Brent, housekeeping.
Okay, now. Okay, so you're right. One person got the tag team match right. I can still confirm that nobody got a perfect score. So, my initial thing was right. In 12th place, going 2-3, was Sarah. Tied for 5th place, going 3-2, was the 8-Ball, myself, Lindsay, Rob, Sheila, Tommy C., and the Magical Wheel of Fun. And in a 4-way tie for 1st place was Keishi, Rock, Subway, and Tim.
Wow.
Again,
I did not expect to be sniffing for 1st place, let alone tied with others.
Right. I mean, the only unpredictable thing was the women's tag. It was not a hard show to predict. Anyway,
a couple of us picked Chad Gable. We thought that could have happened.
You had some thoughts, but it was very obvious he wasn't winning. Anyway, that being said, as Tim mentioned, WTR Fantasy Season 18 is wrapping up, which means Season 19 draft is next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, on WTR Sunday night. So, Team One Brain had 810, and Team Canada had 669.
Nice.
Nice. So, Team One Brain gets the win. Team Canada's second. Brain.
Yeah?
Sir, what happened? What happened to your team? What happened to you?
I don't know.
You had Becky
in the Magic 8-Ball.
Who did the wheel.
It was the wheel. It was the wheel, technically.
The wheel had 82. Brent had 60.
Oh, no.
Okay, Brent, you suck. It's official.
Okay. Brent, you know what? I may not know a lot here, but hey, Rock, how's my other fantasy team doing?
They're
great. Winning, right?
Yeah, because of the lone jobber. So,
it's not jobber. It's freaking me. Chopper picked freaking Miro.
Great
pick.
No. I mean, great pick. So yeah, maybe you had Becky and Punk. It just didn't work out for you. It happens. See what happens next season. The rebound season for Team Corner should be interesting. But that'll be next week on the show. Next week.
Fun.
But that's our show for tonight, Tim.
That's it, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hope you enjoyed our little webcast that we bring to you almost every single Sunday night at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. Hey, it's not the only thing going on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everything kicks off yet one more time tomorrow with the post show.
Indeed, the Raw post show is live, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Hey, did you know there's a show on Thursday nights? It's won multiple awards, and the host is a multi-time award winner. Her name's Lindsay Ward. And the show is called The Rack.
It is. The Rack is live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk Clash of the Castle and all the news you can handle. It's The Rack live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack turns 12 on the 27th-ish. 27th.
Don't you and Brent beat each other up on Friday nights?
In video game form. Yes, in WWE 2K24. It's my GM battles. Friday's 10 p.m. Eastern.
Hashtag team intern.
Saturday's at 10. It's WTR game night. Been doing golf the last couple weeks. Probably do golf with friends one more time this Saturday. 10 p.m. Eastern. Followed by CB Raider live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Night with WTR Fantasy Draft at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's at WTR Sunday Night on the Facebook and the Twitters. Tim?
There's no such... There is no Twitter, only X.
It's still Twitter.
And you can find me at Flames Forums. I've been posting and people have been replying. And I know that some people are liking my content. Who the hell are you? Inside joke.
Panthers fans?
Flames fans cheering for the Panthers.
Cassius on social?
Yeah, I'm randomly all over the place on the X, the Threads, and the Instagrams. Yeah, I don't post, but I'm there. If you could bounce questions off me, I might answer them. Or you could go to the link in the X and the Instagram and visit my store and then ask questions about that. I'll answer questions. Unless they're crude.
Brent, you're on Twitters and socials and everything.
Yeah, you can find me on the X or Instagram or Threads, either at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens. Also, hashtag team intern on Friday nights, and I will be going for my, what is this, like 7th Argyle jacket in the WTR Invitational Golf Tournament on Saturday nights?
Something like that.
All right. I'm still waiting on the first jacket, by the way.
When you really earn it, you'll get it. Anyway.
I've won like 6 times. I've earned it.
Yeah, but you gotta get to the end of the season. Season's just
There's
begun.
A season in golf?
The whole tour. Well, that's a tour. Anyway, chat, Amazon Prime. If you have it, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. Click the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit code ROCKETSTOCK in the Fortnite item shop because you could ride the lightning with Metallica or be very, very positive with Nick A30. But buy the stuff because hashtag epic partner. Send us home, Tim.
Well, that's it, everybody. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. It was a great week. Catch you next Sunday night for another edition of Russell Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com.